Today we're going to kick off a joyride, cruising through Philippians. Philippians is the joy book, and Memorial Day weekend seems to be the unofficial kickoff for summer. So we're going on a joyride in this new series. Now tomorrow is Memorial Day. We do have freedom to meet here today because of the sacrifice of men and women. How long will we be able to maintain that freedom to meet without fear of persecution, without arrest? I don't know. In the world today, the most persecuted group are Christians. In China, churches are being torn down. But we have freedom to come today and to worship our Creator. So let's take a moment of silence to honor those who have given us this freedom by sacrificing their lives. Thank you. Let's not take our freedom for granted. It is Memorial Day. God is a God of memorials. To the Jews, He gave the Passover meal to look back and to remember. Remember, I led you out of Egypt. I provided for you. I cared for you. I protected you. I provided for you in the wilderness, and I led you into the promised land. And so through the Passover meal, they remembered God's deliverance. He saved them from death. He's given us the Lord's Supper, a memorial to remember the sacrifice. God is a God of memorials. That's why we remember. Now, speaking of remembering, do you remember going on joy rides? I can remember when I was a kid on a Sunday afternoon, we'd get piled into my grandmother's great big black Cadillac and we'd go for a Sunday afternoon drive. Well, we went on a joy ride yesterday with our friends Barry and Kim. We ended up at Berkeley Plantation and we found a couple of memorials. We found a memorial to the first Thanksgiving right here in our backyard, and a memorial to the song Taps that was composed and played for the first time at the Berkeley Plantation. Perhaps you, I've already talked to some that have been out on the water on their boat, a joy ride on the water. I've seen some driving out here in their convertibles on a joy ride. Maybe you have a motorcycle and you've taken it out of the garage and you've gone on a joy ride. Well, today we are beginning a joy ride in the joy book as we journey through and we cruise through Philippians. The Apostle Paul was having a joyful remembrance. If you have your Bibles, open to Philippians chapter 1. He has his introduction, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints of Christ Jesus who are at Philippi. With the overseers and deacons, grace to you, excuse me, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. It brings Paul great joy to think of those who have been established in the faith, who have joined with him in the cause of the gospel. And when he thinks of his Philippian brothers, he thinks of them with great joy. Now Paul, he is in chains. He is in prison for preaching Christ. Excuse me. Becky, would you get me a water bottle? Thank you. He is in chains and he is writing to the Philippian church and he is thankful for them. He is joyful for their faith. And as he prays with joy, it brings him joy to know, and he encourages the believers to remember that, and this is for us today as well, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. Paul is remembering back 10 years earlier when he was in Philippi. Thank you. And we read about this in Acts 16. And I think it's a great story, a great event. Acts 16, we read of Paul and his companions, Silas, Timothy. They travel into Philippi. And as was their modus operandi, Paul and his companions would go straight to the synagogue. And there he would find believers in the Heavenly Father, the Creator God, and he would start with the Scriptures and lead them to Jesus. Well, he couldn't go to the synagogue in Philippi. There weren't enough Jewish men in Philippi to have a synagogue, but he did discover that there were some women praying down by the river on the Sabbath. And so Paul and his companions, they head down to the river. They meet a woman who is of great wealth by the name of Lydia. We know she is of great wealth because she was a merchant who dealt in purple. Anything that was purple was considered royal and of high price. So she was a wealthy woman. She and other women on the Sabbath were praying down by the river. So Paul and his companions went to the river and they preached to them Jesus. Now, what was that message? Well, we can go back to Acts 2. When Peter preached the first gospel message, it's a pretty good template to put throughout the book of Acts. That when Peter stood before the crowd, he said, "Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus did mighty miracles and wonders and signs. Many of you witnessed them. We witnessed them. He was attested to you by God. He is the one the prophets, the Moses and the law and the prophets pointed to and told us about. He is the Messiah, the promised one. He came. He was crucified on a cross by God's plan. He was buried in a tomb, but God raised him from the dead." That's the message that Peter preached. And the crowd believed it and said, "What do we do?" And Peter said, "Repent. Change your life. Change your direction. Change your priorities. Change your values. Change the one you're following and follow Jesus. And be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And that was the same message that Paul delivered to the women at Philippi. We know at least one family accepted the message because we read in Acts 16:15 that Lydia and her household were baptized. So we know that they believed what Paul had told them about Jesus. They accepted that message. They repented. They turned to Jesus and they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins, and they received the gift of the Holy Spirit on that day. And Lydia invited them to come and stay at her house. She had a nice big place. "You come and stay at my house. Stay as long as you want. We'll make sure you have something to eat. And you can go and come as you please. You go and you preach and you teach." And that's what they did day after day. They would go into the city. And there's one particular day, it was just Paul and Silas. And they're traveling to the city. And what was happening is they were encountering this young woman who was possessed by a demon. And she would yell out, "Hey, listen to these guys. They're bringing salvation from the Most High God." Now that seems like they're helping out. At first you wonder, well, what's the problem with that? Why would a demon be proclaiming that these guys are bringing salvation from the Most High God? Well, it was really an interruption. It was scaring people and they were actually avoiding them. And so Paul looked at that young woman who was a slave girl, and her owners would rent her out to make quite a bit of money. She predicted the future. So if someone was having a baby, they might rent her out to tell them if they're having a boy or a girl, and then they could have a big reveal party in Philippi. Or if they were getting ready to enter into a business venture, they might hire the young lady to come over and predict if this business venture is going to succeed. Or if they're going on a trip, especially if they're going to board a ship, they might ask her, they might hire her out and say, are we going to be all right on this journey? Well, Paul looked at her as if he was looking straight through her eyes, right at the demon, and he said, come out of her. And the demon left. And she no longer had the power to predict the future. Now, who do you think was upset about this? Her slave owners. Now they've lost some significant income. And they grab Paul and Silas and they drag them before the magistrates and they tell them what has happened, and the magistrates immediately order that they be flogged and arrested. And so they strip the clothes from their back and they take these big sticks and they beat them and flog them with the sticks. And then they throw them in the prison, into the inner cell where they are in stocks and chains. Now, if that was you, what would you do? Oh, my aching back. Woe is me. We're going to die in here. But not Paul and Silas. They sang. They had worship. They prayed. It's in the middle of the night and they're singing and praying. When all of a sudden there's a great earthquake. And we read in Matthew about a couple of other great earthquakes. One took place when Jesus died on the cross and the ground shook. Another one took place when that stone was rolled away from the tomb, a great earthquake. So when there was an earthquake, it got people's attention. And many of them thought it was a God speaking, not the God speaking. Well, the ground shook and the chains came off of Paul and Silas. And the doors to the prison cells, the inner cell, the outer door, they opened up. And the jailer, he woke up and he realizes that the doors are open. Oh no. I've lost my prisoners. He pulls out his sword and he's about to fall on his sword because that death would be much easier than the suffering of torture he would receive for letting his prisoners get away. But Paul saves his life, said, hold it, wait! We're here. Don't hurt yourself. And he drops the sword, clink, and he runs in and he falls down before them. Maybe he heard what they had been teaching on the streets. Maybe it was just the singing and the prayers that they were praying. But he falls down and says, sirs, what do I do to be saved? And Paul says, oh man, you just wait till we tell you about Jesus. If you believe and what we have to tell you about Jesus, you can be saved. And he said, well, come to my house. I want you to tell my whole house. And they leave, and he takes them home, and he tends to their wounds. And Paul and Silas, they share the message of Jesus, which is what? The same message Peter preached. That he performed all these great miracles. He was the one the prophet said would come. That he was crucified on a cross, buried in a tomb. He raised again 3 days later. And that you need to repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And what happened? That very hour, the jailer said, let's go. I believe it. And he and his family, they were baptized. And then Paul said, okay, we need to keep you out of trouble. Take us back to the prison. You want to what? Yeah, take us back to the prison. We've got to keep you out of trouble. So he took them back, put them back in the inner cell, locked them up in the chains, closed both doors, and he went back to standing guard. Well, the next morning, word came from the magistrates. Let them go. Set them free. The magistrate got out his keys. Second door. Goes in and releases the chains. Says, okay, you're free to go. What? Yeah, the magistrate said you can go. Well, I'm not going anywhere. You going anywhere, Silas? No, I'm not going anywhere. You go tell the magistrates to come let us go themselves. Okay. So they leave, send word to the magistrate. They said, but before they left, said, oh, by the way, tell the magistrates we're Roman citizens. Uh-oh. Now, Philippi was a Roman colony, and Rome spread out so quickly, and especially on the outer fringes. If there was any, even a hint of an uprising, it would be smashed immediately. And that's what took place. There was a little bit of an uprising, and the magistrates smashed it. It was ready, fire, aim. And then they found out, see, Roman citizens had special treatment. They had a special place. You don't punish a Roman citizen without a proper trial. And so these magistrates, they come and say, oh, and they say, man, we are so sorry. Paul, Silas, we didn't know. We're so sorry. Please come out. And by the way, would you just leave? Would you just leave Philippi? You're causing us all this. Would you just go? Paul says, okay, well, we'll leave. This isn't recorded in there. This is just speculation. The rest of it, you can find it in Acts 16. Paul says, we'll leave. But there are believers in Jesus here. And if you give them any trouble, I'll be back. And so they leave. And Paul is remembering, as he writes them 10 years later, as he's in prison, God began a good work in you. And he's not finished with you yet. He's going to bring it to completion on the day Christ returns. And the message is the same for us today. Take joy in the fact that God hasn't given up on you. He hasn't given up on us. Maybe you gave up on you. Maybe others have given up on you. But God has not given up on you. Be faithful to the end. God began a work at Gethsemane Church of Christ more than 150 years ago. But He's not finished. God began a work in you maybe 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15, 20, 50, 60 years ago. And He's not finished with you yet. We're all on this faith journey. And we're all at different maturity levels. And we're all at different places. But we're all headed in the same direction. Not only does Paul pray with joy for the purpose of faith, but he prays that your love may abound more and more. And we'll claim that prayer for us, that we as a church, that we as followers of Jesus would abound more and more in love, that we would love people beyond what looks reasonable. Now, some children were asked what love is, and children have the greatest answers. One said, love is when my mommy makes a cup of coffee for my daddy and takes a little taste before she gives it to him to make sure it tastes okay. Another said, love is when your puppy licks your face even after you've left him alone all day. A response was, you really shouldn't say I love you unless you really mean it. But if you mean it, you should say it a lot. People forget. One boy said, when someone loves you the way they say your name is different, you just know that your name is safe in their mouth. An 8-year-old wrote about love and true love. Love is when daddy reads me a bedtime story. True love is when he doesn't skip any of the pages. And finally, 7-year-old Bobby said, love is what's in the room when you at Christmas. Love is what's in the room with you at Christmas if you stop opening presents and listen. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient. May patience abound more and more. Love is kind. May kindness abound more and more. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. May humility abound more and more. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Now this should be our prayer. Every day this should be our prayer. Lord, may my patience toward others abound more and more. It was 3:00 in the morning. There was a knock at the door. The man was awakened and he went down to the steps and he checked the door. And there was a drunken stranger at the door. The drunken stranger said, will you give me a push? And he said, man, it's 3 o'clock in the morning and it's pouring the rain down. I'm not giving you a push. Can you wait till morning? And he shut the door and he went up to bed, and his wife said, who is it? He said, oh, some drunken stranger wanted me to give him a push. And she said, don't you remember 3 months ago when we broke down, those two guys that helped us? I think you need to go help him. But it's pouring the rain down. I think you need to go help him. Okay. If he was going to get any good sleep, he knew he better do what his wife said. So he got up and he went down the steps and he went outside after getting dressed, putting on a coat. Are you still out here? Yes. Do you still need a push? Yes, I need a push. Where are you? He said, I'm over here on the swing. Have you ever had those people in your life that demand extra patience? This is one of those times when you need extra patience. The people that I've heard called EGRs, extra grace required. Maybe they're EPRs, extra patience required. And maybe you're thinking, I don't have anybody in my life like that. Well, it might be you. Better take a good look, soul search. May patience abound more and more. May humility abound in my life. And really, it takes humility to be patient, because I'm going to put others' needs above my own. I'm not going to be in a hurry. Lord, may my anger be kept in check more and more. Lord, erase every record of wrong that I've ever kept. Is that hard for you? Is it hard for you to let go of record? Has somebody ever wronged you, betrayed you, lied to you, cheated you, hurt you? Is it hard to let go of that record of wrong? A young woman had made a terrible mistake in her life, and she just could not bear the pain of the mistake. And it drug her down day after day after day until one night she had a dream that she was standing before Jesus. And Jesus said, my child, why are you so burdened? And she responded, you mean you don't know? That big mistake, the biggest mistake of my life, every day I'm reminded of that mistake and the pain is so great. You know, the thing that I did. And in her dream, Jesus looked at her and said, my precious, precious child, I don't remember that big mistake. In fact, it's been erased. Lord, may hope abound more and more. There are some caverns north of the Yellowstone National Park, and there's a story about the caverns being found by an explorer who fell in a hole and hundreds of feet down into this cavern, where he was stuck in the dark for more than a week. And the story says that after a week, somebody was walking by and they heard him, help me, every day, help me, somebody help me. And the man found the hole and he called in some more help, and they managed to get him out. And they said, how in the world did you survive in here for more than a week? How did you maintain your hope? He said, there was a sliver of light that shone through, and I kept my focus on that sliver of light, and that's what got me through. Now, we live in a world that seems to be growing darker and darker, and they need the light of love that the church has to offer. They need the light of love that Jesus has to offer, and we need to be that light, that little sliver of light, by the way we love people, to give hope. May we claim Paul's prayer that our love would abound more and more, and that it would abound with knowledge and discernment. We're not going to spend a lot of time here, but there, verse 9, it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. In order to have a joyous life, we need to trust that God's word is true. We need to trust that He's still working on us. We are a work in progress. And we need to grow in what His Word teaches, His will for us. It's important for us to love others, but to love in the truth. And your journey might be difficult. Your journey right now, but hold on, God isn't finished. We need to fill our lives with the knowledge and will of God so that we can discern what is right in this world where there is no truth. We now live in a culture that does not believe truth exists. We live in a world where there is no truth. Apart from the Word of God. And this is the truth. The only truth. So help us God. And we must spend time in His Word so that we know what is right and what is wrong and approve what is excellent and pursue a life filled with the fruit of righteousness, pure and blameless, waiting for the day that Christ returns. The great Paderewski was playing at Carnegie Hall, and while playing there, he was staying in one of the finest hotels of New York years ago, in a large suite. And across the hall from him was a regular customer, a very wealthy woman. She had her own large suite. And every morning, for 2 hours, Paderewski would practice on his piano. He had his own piano brought in there, and he practiced 2 hours every morning. And after 3 days, she went down to the desk and said, "I'm here to complain. I've been coming here for years, and I've never had to put up with this noise. You know, I'm one of your best customers. But every morning for 2 hours, someone across the hall is playing on their tin can piano for two solid hours, and it's disturbing me. And if it doesn't stop, I'm going to take my business somewhere else." Ma'am, I'm so sorry, but you need to know that's Paderewski staying across from you. Paderewski, he practices for 2 hours. And, oh, I didn't know that's who it was. I love his music, and I've heard him play. You just don't say it. Don't worry about it. It's okay. And with that, she began to leave her door open every morning. And she invited friends and guests as she entertained them, and they listened as he practiced for 2 hours. What changed? The circumstances didn't change. But she changed her heart and her mind. And she had a new perspective. Oh, that we would allow God's love to abound more and more in us, to change our perspective, that we would be patient with others, that we would love beyond reason, that we would be that light that the world needs, that little ray of light shining through in a hopeless world. Heavenly Father, thank You for Jesus, the light of the world. He is the sun, more than just a ray. And we are called to reflect that light in our lives. We're thankful that You're not finished with us. That You began a good work within us, and we are a work in progress. And we're thankful for Your love made it abound more and more and more, day after day after day, as Your joy abounds in us, as it grows in us, as we discern what is right and wrong in this world that is so confused, as we can discern truth from lies, and that we would love people into the truth. Now, Father, in our time of decision, I pray that if there's one here that needs to surrender to You, You'd give them the courage. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.